The conversation around climate change often focuses on how it will disrupt human life. Scientists warn that food shortages, flooding in coastal cities, and deadly heat waves are just a few of the potentially devastating consequences of a warming planet. But humans aren't the only ones at risk. Even small changes in temperature could drastically alter the native habitats of plants and animals across the globe, including here in Michigan. Current State's April Van Buren joins us now to talk about one climate-sensitive species that could already be seeing the impacts of climate change. April, what can you tell us about the Karner blue butterfly?
Hi, Mark. So the Karner blue butterfly is a very small, very blue butterfly that's native to the Great Lakes region. And it's one of the species that scientists are really looking to as kind of a canary in the coal mine when it comes to how animals and plants will be able to adapt to a warmer Earth. So to learn more about how climate change is shaping conversations about how to save the endangered Karner blue butterfly, I talked to Chris Hoving. He's a climate adaptation specialist at the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. And he told me that one of the reasons this butterfly is at risk is because it depends on a very specific type of habitat called an oak savanna.
It is halfway between a forested habitat and a prairie habitat. And so it's got scattered trees like you'd find maybe in a city park. And then the ground flora is all grasses and wildflowers. An oak savanna is one of the most imperiled ecosystems in the world. We've lost 99.98% of our oak savanna in Michigan. So it's really down to something that we count in acres.
Wow. I'm guessing that that contributed to the declining Karner blue. So the species was listed as federally endangered in 1992. How many Karner blue butterflies have we lost in the past couple decades? Because it's been a really steep decline.
It is a steep decline, and we really count the loss more in acres rather than in number of butterflies, just because butterflies are difficult to count, and their populations go up and down with the weather. But what we've done is we've lost a number of acres, but since they've been listed, we've been working really hard to restore habitat. And so the number of acres for the Karner blue butterfly and their populations have actually been rising quite a bit in the last couple of years.
I understand that in the past few years, after seeing those populations rise, and I imagine that that was really exciting for scientists, there actually has been a decline. I think this summer, they weren't able to find any Karner blues at the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore, which is one of those places where there had been a population and they'd been working to study and to save the population there. Is it worrisome, the trends in the past couple of years?
It's definitely worrisome, and it's something where with this species, we thought we had worked out what it needed and what it would take to save the species from extinction, to the point that the numbers had gotten so high that we were starting to count the populations to try to establish that we had reached recovery goals and that we could start delisting the species. We were that optimistic and at that point in the conservation of the species, which was really great. But now it's changed, and in the last probably 5 or 6 years, we've really seen a steep population decline across the range, with the exception of the population in New York State. And these steep declines seem to be connected to climate change.
I'm wondering if you could talk specifically about what a warmer climate would mean for the Karner blue and for its food source. How is climate going to negatively impact that species?
Climate change will negatively impact the Karner blue in a couple different ways, and there's been some really good research that's been done by the USGS and the University of Notre Dame recently on this topic. And what they've found is that there are sort of two key aspects to climate change and its impacts on this butterfly. One is snow cover. The eggs need sort of the constant environment of snow cover. If they don't have snow cover, then during the wintertime, the eggs can dry out. And so good, consistent snow cover is important for this species. But as we get warmer, our climate will have more and more rain and less snow. Or the snow that does fall isn't going to be as consistent. It won't stay around all winter like it used to. The other impact is that the Karner blue butterfly has two populations or two emergences each year where it goes from caterpillar to butterfly, caterpillar to butterfly. Those are limited by how many warm days we have during the year. There's enough for those two populations. If we get enough longer of a season and get more warm days, the butterflies will be triggered to do a third year. And if they do a third year, there won't be enough lupin for them to eat during that third time, and a lot of the butterflies won't make it to the next year.
So it's a mismatch of sort of the timing of when lupin would come out and start growing and when the butterflies would be hatching. Would be hatching sort of too early.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. The scientific name for that mismatch is a phenological mismatch, but it's basically just meeting at the wrong time, wrong place.
Researchers who study the Karner blue, including yourself, have been looking at this idea of assisted migration as a way to save fragile species like the Karner blue. First of all, I'm wondering if we can just kind of get a basic definition of what assisted migration means.
Assisted migration, it's also called translocation, and there are a couple other names, is a way to move a species from where it currently exists to a new place because of climate change. So as climate changes and sort of the climate zones where a species is found shift north, sometimes those species can't shift north with the climate. And the Karner blue butterfly is a good example of that.
And why wouldn't they be able to move north on their own?
Well, the Karner blue butterfly is really tied to its food plant, the blue lupin. And it can only move into new areas that have blue lupin. And because it's such a small butterfly, about the size of your thumbnail, it can't fly really long distances. It's not like the monarch butterfly that makes these long migrations. We haven't documented it moving more than 2 kilometers. And so that really limits, if it can't go more than 2 kilometers away from blue lupin, and blue lupin's really only found in these little islands on the landscape of oak savanna, there's really no place for it to go unless someone picks it up and, you know, drives it to the next spot that has lupin.
So the idea of moving species from one location to another seems like pretty controversial idea at a time when Michigan is really focused on keeping species that aren't native to the region out because of the damage that they might cause. Why is this being looked at as an option now? And is it still a controversial idea, the idea of moving species from its native habitat somewhere else, even if it's helping them?
It's still definitely a controversial idea, and we, within the conservation community, haven't decided yet if we do want to move Karner blue butterflies across the landscape. Really, it comes down to a question of risks and a question of impacts. And you have to ask yourself, what is the risk of not moving the butterfly? What are the chances that it will survive without movement? And for lots of species, they'll be able to survive without movement. Karner blue butterfly is exceptionally sensitive to climate change, and so it might not, which is why we're having the discussion around Karner blue butterflies. But then you have to weigh that with the risk of what would happen to the place where you move it to. What are the risks of introducing a new species? Most of the time when you introduce a new species, it's not going to take in that area, and so there's a risk of failure. You could waste a lot of money trying to move butterflies when you would have been better off leaving them alone. There's also a very small risk that it would become an invasive species and be problematic in the landscape that you move it to. And so there's risk in not moving the butterfly, and there's risk in moving the butterfly. And right now we're working within the DNR to try to figure out how to create policies that balance those two risks.
We're talking to Chris Hoving, Climate Adaptation Specialist for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. We're talking about the decline in the population of the Karner blue butterfly and questions that's raising about how to help species adapt to a changing climate. The Karner blue obviously has a very specific habitat and a very specific food source, and it would be hard for it to move north on its own. You mentioned that it can only go, 2 kilometers at a time. But are there species that are farther south from us now that have the capability to travel distances and that we might expect to be showing up on our doorstep as the climate changes?
Yes, there are. An interesting anecdote on that was when I went to the Allegan State Game Area recently and talked to the biologists there about the changes that they might expect in the future and different animals that they might see moving north. A lot of the ones that we would expect to move north the quickest would be some of our mammals and some of our birds. And I mentioned, we could have strange things like blue grosbeaks and orchard orioles. And they said, interesting that you said that. We just had both of those species nesting for the first time at Allegan this last year. So we're already starting to see some of those indicator species moving north. Another one would be the armadillo. That's a species that is expanding its range to the north. It's currently
found. Don't have armadillos in Michigan yet, though, right?
As far as we know, we don't have armadillos in Michigan. There was one person who sent us a photograph this year, but we don't know whether that was something that hitched a ride on a truck or was actually part of a population. But they're as far north as middle of Illinois in Indiana, and they're limited by climate. So if it gets warmer, we could have them here.
Wow, that is a crazy image, the idea of seeing an armadillo in Michigan.
Yes.
It seems like climate change has shifted the focus of conservationists a little bit. I mean, we talked earlier about how when we hear about invasive species, it's always negative. It's always, you know, they could destroy the Great Lakes. But it also seems like as the climate's changing, those species are going to move north on their own, and they're going to have to adjust to a changing climate the same way that species that are native to Michigan are. Has there been a shift in how scientists are approaching conservation under the threat of climate change?
I would say that it hasn't shifted, but it's shifting. So there is definitely a different approach. One of the challenges that we have when we think about conservation is that we're trying to save something from the past. We're trying to conserve something. And when you get a world where the climate is changing, the entire planet, and the climate is shifting in that way, it does become more of a challenge to figure out exactly what are we trying to conserve. We can't put the same systems back in the same places all of the time. Sometimes we're going to have to move them to different places. And so it does change the goals of conservation.
Chris Hoving is a climate adaptation specialist for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. We've been talking about efforts to save the endangered Karner blue butterfly and talking about the idea of assisted migration as a way to help species threatened by climate change. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to me, Chris.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
For Current State, this is April Van Buren.
And this segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.